We moved here in 95, Wendy and I. And we had come to Canada, that was August. I think we came in May. I think Alicia was like 4 weeks old, only 3 weeks old when we came to Canada. But I think the first time I was here in this church was the spring of 1992. And Carl and Dan would be the only ones that could remember, was with a drama team from Bethany called Acts. Was the drama team. It's called the Christian Testimony of Salvation, Acts. I have a vague memory of, I think, praying downstairs in a room with Carl's dad on those little wooden benches. And I was in the drama team. They said, well, you know, someone had said, Wes, why don't you audition for this drama team? So I did, like a fool. I got on there and they literally had to teach me how to act because I had no idea. I'd never done anything. I didn't, you know, do the VBA. I didn't do anything. But there I was traveling around, and one of the skits that we did was a skit with me and there was two other people, and one was, quote, the devil, or the devil, and one was an angel. And they're both talking into my shoulders, like into my ears. And it ends with me, about here, except it was in the middle, with me standing up on a chair, going, I did it my way, and then they push me, the devil pushes me off. And I went flying down here, and I hit the floor. That was my crowning achievement of a stunt person. I did. This one, I remember, I'm pretty sure someone in the audience, it's all solemn, right? And someone goes, Dad, he fell down. Something like that. I don't know who it would have been. I've tried to figure it out. Anyhow, I got to tell you this too. Moose Jaw Church, instead of having stairs that you could kind of work your way down, they just had a sharp drop off from about here. That was a little iffy, but I made it. No broken bones, nothing. Anyways, the point of it was and I think I was supposed to sing it because it's a song, right? Is it Paul Anka? I did it my way? I won't do it now. I didn't do it then. I think they gave up on that. Frank Sinatra, that's right. I did it my way. Humility has always been a goal of mine. And I've discovered that the only thing standing in the way of achieving that goal has been my pride. So we're going to take a look at pride and humility in the book of Proverbs. And so much of it, I think, just comes down to, I did it my way, is kind of this pride thing that we get. It reminds me of when I was a kid, apparently I would, I think all kids go through this stage, but I do it my nelf, right? Which is good. That's not necessarily pride, but it's, I do it myself. I don't need help. I'll zip up my jacket or whatever. Proverbs 21:4 says, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked are sin. This is an important area in our lives, and I seem to come back to it fairly often. So if you're going, Wes, we've heard this from you before, I'm sorry. I was sitting there thinking that if you're here for this sermon, God brought you here for it, so, you know. No, but it is important. James 4:6, we're familiar with, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I feel like I've often found myself in a position where God is opposing me, and we just don't want to be there if we don't need to be. We don't win in opposition to God. But we do need reminders. What is a good definition of pride? What's a good definition of humility? Someone want to give me one and then I'll give you mine? Anybody want to, what's a good definition of humility?
Not presuming anything.
Not presuming anything, okay?
Realizing who you are is by the grace of God and not of yourself.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Considering others better than yourself.
Okay. Yep. Biblical route on the definition. That's good. That is good, actually. Anybody else? I would say that my definitions in some ways are an extrapolation of Scripture, not directly from it, but I think they're helpful. This is the best summary I've come up with. If it's all about me, it's pride. If I think that I am so great and amazing and superior and smarter and I am the best stuntman that this world has ever seen, okay, it was fun. I have to admit it was fun to be able to do that. But that was 30 years ago or more. If I think I'm just so great, that's all about me and it's pride. If I think that I am worthless, unattractive, stupid, and useless, it's all about me and it's also pride. Humility, Popeye comes to mind. What was Popeye's catchphrase?
I am's
what I am's. That actually sounded way better than I thought it would. I am's what I am's. Or more specifically, I am who God made me. Right? I am content with that as I pursue greater godliness. Who God has made me, I can freely offer and offer gently without needing to show how great I am and without being offended if what I offer is not accepted. I feel like that has a lot to do with humility. I won't say these definitions are definitive, but hopefully they're helpful. Humility does not mean hidden. If we're simply going, I don't want it to be about me, but inwardly what we're doing is I don't want others to see me as I am, then it's not humility, it's actually pride. It's funny. I have a friend, Kevin, and he comes out to visit in Saskatchewan, visit our friend in the city. And he's like, Randy, your couch is my happy place. And I don't know if this is good or bad, but I was sitting there thinking, going, when I get up to speak, that's kind of my happy place. I like this, so hopefully you guys enjoy it too and get something from it. Let's start with Proverbs. What does pride look like? 26 verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Pride shows up in how we see ourselves. Are we wise in our own eyes? We don't need to seek the wisdom of others. We don't need to seek the wisdom of Scripture or the guidance of the Holy Spirit. 21:24. The proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name. He behaves with overweening pride. Now, what an interesting word. Overweening. So I looked that one up. It means excess or overflowing pride with wrath or rage kind of included in it. Mocker is his name. He behaves with overweening rage or anger in his pride. 14:3, a fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. And 8:12-13, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Pride often comes out in what we say, how we talk about people, and out of the mouth, the overflow of the heart speaks, right? You ever said something and then you looked at it later and you went, oh, that was kind of ugly. I didn't like that much. I never always know if it's someone took it the way I was thinking of it or not, and I have apologized at times, and at times I probably haven't. But that's some of what pride looks like. What does pride produce? The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. 13:10. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. I had to think, and it wasn't that many years ago, but it feels like it. Do you remember COVID in the trucker's convoy? It wasn't so long ago. Do you remember how many disagreements and quarrels happened in our world because of our opinions on that? And how solid we were in those opinions. And how sure we were of ourselves and our opinions. And let's say we shouldn't have them, but I wonder how many of those quarrels happened because of our pride. Pride only breeds quarrels. So where there's quarreling, it's always good to stop back and take a look and go, am I really standing on principles here? Am I really standing on scripture, or is it pride? It's always worth taking a look. 15:25, the Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. Tears down the house of the proud. I don't like that one. Knowing my pride. 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. Boy, if that doesn't make us want to take this seriously, hey? Put those verses together and go, this is important for us as disciples. What about humility? What is humility in Proverbs? Let's read that one verse again. I just read it not too long ago, I think. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. And I think, and he didn't say this exactly, but it's close enough, that humility implies readiness to accept correction. 13:13, he who scorns instruction will pay for it, but he who respects a command is rewarded. 13:18, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. How do you like it when someone comes to you and says you're off base in this area? Maybe theologically, maybe relationally, maybe in how we're using our gifts or failing to use our gifts, maybe whatever it is. Maybe it's never happened to you. You've never received correction from anybody. How do we react? Were we offended? Were we hurt? That might be an indicator of pride, it might not. But the question of how do we take correction and are we open to it connects to humility. I don't think any one of us would stand up and go, I'm right all the time in how I think or in how I act or in what I believe. So to be open to correction just makes sense. Be open to challenge, to be open to change. I hope I've gotten better at that through the years. I think 30 years ago I was not where I am now, hopefully, which is really funny because I should be 30 years wiser, which now means I take correction better and need it more. It's backwards, right? But when you're 20 or 25, you just think you know everything. Proverbs 25:6-7, do not exalt yourself in the king's presence. Do not claim a place among great men. It is better for him to say, come up here, and for him to humiliate you before a noble man. Humility is not exalting ourselves. Remember the parable about Jesus, told about where you sit at a wedding feast? He ends it with, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. And there is no place for a believer to exalt ourselves above somebody else. That's a harsh one. some ways. Okay, a digression, small one. How many have seen the Larry Boy cartoons, not the VeggieTales? Seen the Larry Boy cartoons? Anyway, there's, is it Bok Choy is the instructor or something? Instructor, and he uses this quote and says, you know, everyone who humbles himself will be exalted, and Larry's remembering it later, and he goes, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exhausted. Bok Choy was right. I am exhausted. Anyways, there is no place for us to exalt ourselves above others, either externally or internally. That one's a bit tougher. 15:33, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. With humility comes honor. And we're going to see that a bit more. Proverbs, what does humility produce? Spiritually, what does it produce, according to Proverbs and in our lives? Proverbs 3:33-34 says, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. We desire and we seek the Lord's favor. Proverbs says one of the ways that we find it is through humility. Along with that one, 29:23 says, pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. 18:12, before downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. He shows favor, and we gain honor. Oh, that was my words, not a quote. 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Favor, honor, wisdom. Humility and the fear of the Lord, 22 verse 4, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Getting to be quite the list. Favor, honor, wisdom, wealth, life. They come with humility. And that doesn't mean, you know, be humble to get rich. I think that's what Proverbs is implying. I want to take just a minute to talk about what humility looks like in the church. If we have conflict in the church, and either internally that nobody knows about, but we're feeling conflict with somebody, nothing's ever been said, there's no hard feelings, either internally or externally, with someone in the church, a good place to start is to examine ourselves for pride. Humility considers them, Stan said, better than ourselves. Maybe nobody has ever had that trouble where they're grumbly about something or grumbly about someone or about what the preacher said that they didn't like. But maybe you have, and humility considers others better than ourselves. There is a time to talk and to be reconciled and to do that wisely, but it probably starts by making sure pride isn't part of what's going on. And simply put, probably the easiest single way to deal with pride is at the foot of the cross. Lord, this is about you. This is about your church. This is about your kingdom. This isn't about me. And surrendering to him. Kind of the second thing in that, if we, and I've been there, I've done this, If we think that we have the answer that the church needs and we are going to make it happen, we are going to change the church, we are going to show the church what's really needed. Like I said, I've been there, I've done that. That might be pride. It is Christ's church. It's our job to obey him with humility. One of the things that the last, I think I started to notice it about 3 or 4 years ago, and one of the things I've appreciated so much about our lead team is the attitude of humility. We have often come together and just shared, this is what I see, this is what I'm sensing the Lord say. It's not staking territory, it's not not having all the answers, but it's being part of a team where we walk humbly together. And I have appreciated that greatly. I've begun to watch for humility at every level of leadership if I go to a conference or wherever I'm at. And I'm convinced that it's one of the most important qualities of being a leader. I want to end just with a few verses from the New Testament and the passage. And it's a familiar passage, but I think it's appropriate to read it here. 2 Corinthians 10:1. And I won't read the whole passage here. Paul starts off by saying, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. What a great way to talk. What a great approach. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. 1 Peter 5:5, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And then Philippians 2 is a familiar passage. You can follow along if you find that easier, or just listen. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Heavenly Father, even as I share this today, I realize the tendency toward pride in my life. Lord, I pray for myself. I give that to you. I pray for us here. I pray for those who aren't here, Lord, to have the grace to walk humbly, the grace to accept correction, the grace to hear from you, be challenged by you with regards to our pride. I pray, Lord, that you would never find us in opposition to you, walking gently and humbly alongside one another. And as always, Lord, my prayer is that what is from you would stick and take root, and what is not from you this morning would simply fall away. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the opportunity to share, to be together, to follow you together. Amen.